This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Bless the Lord. Isn't that good? Thanks, Pam, for most of all that. It's really that word there to really drink of the Holy Spirit. We already are that light, to be strong in that, in those dreams. And how is that glorious vision there of those steps? Just reminded me of Psalm 24, and it makes this declaration: "Lift up your head, O ye gates; be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Then it asks the question: "Who is the King of Glory?" And it says, "The Lord, strong and mighty, He is the King of Glory." And that's a prophetic declaration of the gates of heaven being opened up when Jesus Christ ascended with a shout and entered into glory for you and for me, so that we could, in Him, we are raised up and we're made to sit together with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And His name is above every other name. Every name that is named, every authority is subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Think about it. Think about it. You know, and often we hear that and we're a bit like Gideon. You know, he's in a position where they're controlled by the Midianites. He's controlled by a foreign nation. They're impoverished. They're kept under and subdued. And God comes along and appears to him and says, "You mighty man of valor." And he goes, "What? What? I'm the least. I'm nobody. We're in bondage. And I mean, what?" What? And we can do that because I believe God wants to give. I've been praying this for a long time. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Not in our wisdom, not in our what we can perceive or what we could understand or even what we could work out from the Bible, but give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, every single person." And you know, when God opens the eyes of our heart, because that's where it all is. That's where it's all happening, right here in our heart. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look on the outward. We get into the outward and we start comparing ourselves one with another, with whoever's the flavor of the month, whatever is the flavor of the month, and we compare ourselves with them and think, you know, I don't even measure up. But God says, "I do not look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart." And He said, "The eyes of God run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Think about the urgency in that scripture. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And He's looking for one thing, and that one thing is those whose hearts are loyal towards Him. That's what He's looking for, hearts. And He says, "That I might show myself strong on their behalf." You know, my heart cries out. You know, those beautiful songs, my heart cries out, glory to the King. You know, and first and foremost, we are called to be with Him. I want to share a scripture out of the book of Job. And it's in your notice sheets if you just want to go there. Two scriptures I've got there. Joel chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says this, it says, "Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares." Actually, it does say shares. It should be shears, shouldn't it? That's how I've always, anyway, same thing. "Plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. We're just going to look at that. Where God, first of all, there's a proclamation there to declare this among the nations, prepare for war. Prepare for war. Well, think about that. How do you prepare for war? How do you prepare for it? Remember I shared last week about God bringing Israel out of bondage, out of slavery, out of want, out of need, out of depravity. He brought them out, but what he declared over them, he said, I'm going to bring my armies out of Egypt. I'm going to bring them out from under the hand of Pharaoh. I'm bringing my armies out. And just like he spoke to Gideon, he spoke to each one of us. We are part of that army. The scripture says here, to prepare for war, wake up the mighty men. And in the same way that God spoke to Gideon, he's spoken to each one of us in Christ Jesus, said, you are a mighty man, you are a mighty woman. You know, something's got to happen there. We've got to receive it. So he said, I'm bringing my armies out. You know, one of the things he also said, I think it's in Exodus 13, he could have taken them very quickly. There was a short route to the land of the Philistines. He could have taken them very quickly. But you know what God said? He said, I'm not going to take them there by that route because they might see war and they're going to change their minds and go back to Egypt. And how true is that? When you look at the history of Israel and what happened, as soon as they started seeing conflict, trouble, war, their immediate response was to turn back. So I'm going back to where it was safe, under bondage, but safe, secure. And so God said, I'm not going to do that because I need to do something in their lives. And so if you're going to prepare for war, what's going to take place? The first thing that's got to take place is there's got to be a complete change of the way that we think. A total change. Now, it's no wonder. You know, the first word of the gospel, John the Baptist preached it, Jesus preached it. What did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And we think, oh yeah, that's all the bad things I did. No, it's changed the way that you think. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, they are higher. They are higher. And he declares and he starts to speak about his words. The first thing that's got to change is the way that we think. So right there in the gospel, exactly the same thing. He spoke to Israel. He's speaking to us. That's why the Bible says the gospel was preached to them the same as us. And the only issue with them is they didn't mix faith with the word that they heard. So how much more have we got to pay attention to what God's saying to us by his only begotten Son? He has spoken the truth, and God is not a man that he should lie. Every word that he has spoken, he is at the back of it to perform it. The issue is our hearts. So here's Israel. God had to take them out of there. He had to change the way they think. Instead of being victims, instead of being slaves, he had to teach them that they were his own special chosen people. We say to God, change all the circumstance and I will feel better. And that's what I said all my life. Give me more money, God, I'll feel better. Give me more of this and I'll feel better. Give me more of that. Give me this position and I will feel better. And it never happened. I never felt better. All I did was chase my tail for more of the same, and it never satisfied. It never met the need, because God said, the issue is in your heart. You've got to change the way that you think. And that's why he says, listen carefully to me. Listen diligently to me. Listen very carefully to the words that I'm going to speak to you. He has chosen us in Christ Jesus. He has declared that we are his sons and his daughters. He has forgiven all of our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions, our iniquities from us. He said to me, he said to you, come into my presence and sit with me. Come and enjoy my presence. Stop trying to change who you are by yourself. Come and sit in my presence and let me change you. Let me change you. Because in Christ Jesus, the veil is taken away. By his blood, we can come boldly and sit right before his presence. We can sit on his lap. We can love him and praise him because we're his sons and daughters. That's the truth. That's why Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 15, I think it is, he said, your words were found and I ate them. You ever thought about that? Isn't that the scripture said? Meditate in this word day and night. Your words were found. Isn't it money? We can get the word preached to us every week. We can read it every day. What makes the difference between just hearing and the difference between finding something? Hunger, doesn't it? Praise God for those difficult times in our lives. Praise God for those dry times in our lives. Thank God for his mercy. God, I would like you to make everything smooth in my life. Get rid of all of my enemies. Do all this, do that. Hang on, I haven't finished my list yet. And I want this and I want that. And then I'll be happy and I will serve you. I only turn to God because everything fell apart. I only go stronger in God because things start to go wrong in my life. Because my flesh is the same as your flesh. Your flesh is the same as my flesh. The Bible says there's nothing good in it. There's not one that seeks after God. The scripture says, this is God's declaration over all humanity. There is not one that seeks after God. No, not one. But the King has brought me. He has brought you. Draw me, the scripture says, and we will run after you, for the King has brought me into his chamber. So when Jeremiah said, your words were found, that's heart. That's heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. All your heart. He hasn't changed. It's the issue of the heart. And so Jeremiah says, your words were found and I ate them, and they were to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. He's getting satisfied now. They were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because, here's the revelation that hits him, I am called by your name, Lord God of hosts. He started to realize what God said over him was true. He is his son. Hallelujah. Do you know that in the scriptures, over 300 times he's called the Lord God of hosts? The same word. And over 300 times he's called that. That word is also translated army. He's the Lord God of armies. And he said, I'm going to bring my army out of Egypt. Right, is it me? Now we've got to turn into a bloodthirsty lot and kill everybody that we come across? No, because we know the scripture says that even though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10, we do not war according to the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not of the flesh, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, enemy strongholds. And the scripture says what they are: proud thoughts, vain imagination, every thought that would exalt itself, declare that it's higher than the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we battle against, because we know it's not external things that are our problem. We know that the real issue is internal. It's in the heart. That's why God brought us out of bondage into his marvelous light, out of the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, think about that. We're in another kingdom now. We've been brought out of one kingdom into another kingdom. Well, the old king's going to get upset, isn't he? Nobody is exempt from being in this warfare. Nobody. And especially so if we're going to look to see captives set free, if we're going to look to bring others out of the kingdom of darkness, if we just start to declare our testimony and tell others what God has done for us and declare to them that God will do it for them because he is no respecter of person. If their heart's right, God will do it for you because he's not a liar. Well, somebody's going to get upset. So first of all, the first thing that has to change is a mindset. And the greatest tragedy is when we get out of that kingdom into his kingdom and start to think, okay, I have arrived now. Now, God, make everything comfortable in my life. Make everything secure in my life. Well, Jesus said, didn't he spell it out incredibly clearly? If you want to be my disciple, you've got to forsake everything else, even your own life. Otherwise, you won't be able to follow me. You won't be able to keep in step. You won't be able to march with the King of Glory, who will never go back on his word. He goes from glory to glory, from strength to strength. That's why when you get a revival in a church, we go from one degree of glory to another degree. We go from strength to strength. And the reason why that tapers off is because we say, I don't think I want to go that far. I think you're going a bit extreme now, Lord. Let's settle here. Didn't the disciples do that to Jesus? Peter took him aside. You're getting a little bit extreme now, Lord. All this talk of laying down your life, that's a bit extreme. But isn't that the underlying basis for every soldier? You're totally disqualified unless you are prepared to lay down your life. I mean, in Australia now, we advertise for the army is to further your career. No, the reality of an army and for a soldier to be effective is you must know that you've got to be prepared to lay down your life. Jesus laid it out very clearly. He said, you cannot be my disciple unless you have counted that cost, unless you have made that decision in your heart and in your mind that there's nothing in this world. You know the old songs? The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. That's why revival stops. That's why God can't keep moving, because a decision is made in our hearts that, well, I think I've gone far enough. I think I've done enough now, God. And then immediately we begin to lose that. We are the light of the world. Everything God has spoken, and we've got to begin to walk. So what do you do? First of all, everyone enlisting. That's why I spoke about baptism. That's where you enlist. We're baptized into his death. Well, there's the underlying core principle of every disciple, of every soldier, being willing to lay down your life because he's the one that's everything. And you can't lose your life anyway. Yes, you can lose your life physically, but you've got eternal life. If you lose sight of the eternal, then all you've got left is the natural. So you'll cling on to that. And that's the issue. God wants to remind us of the eternal. So here's what he says. He says, wake up. Wake up the mighty men. How many know that once somebody enlists in an army, what's one of the first things they get when they enlist? Hang on, I'm past. The uniform. That's what you get. You get a uniform. What have you got to take off? You've got to take off your civvy clothes. You can't wear them anymore. I was thinking about the difference between this. A soldier, when his commanding officer gives him a command, he has got to do it, even if he dies trying to fulfill it. Right? In warfare, that's the situation. If you're given a command in warfare, you must do that, even if it means you die doing it. A civilian, if you're given a command as a civilian, you can say, well, I tried my best. I gave it my absolute best shot. That's the difference. And that's what we're called to do, follow him, to give our lives, because that's his command. And in the spiritual life, here's the reality. We can, if we're still wearing civvy clothes, you know what the scripture says? Put on the Lord. Let's put on. We've got to first of all put off the old man, and that's what baptism's all about. You put off the old man. When you go down, that's the old man. Brian, the old man. Yeah. Whenever the devil comes along and says, and tries to remind you about faults in your life or things that you know, patterns that maybe you fall into, and you say, oh, I'm always like that. Take the devil on a little trip and go back to where you were baptized. Maybe you've got a nice little cross on that area, you know, rest in peace. So there's the one you're talking about. That's where I buried him. And when I came up out of the waters, I came up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we've been identified with him in his death, certainly we shall be identified with him in his resurrection. How many want resurrection life flowing through you? How many of us want resurrection power flowing through us? Well, there's the truth that sets us free. It's not some nice little thing we do to feel goosebumpy about. It's, praise God if you get them, but it's something that's a reality and the power of God. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey, and that's why it's so important. It's the first obedient act that you make. You enlisted, and now the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to satisfy its lusts. So we're all dressed. I wonder, what happens in a warfare if somebody's caught in his civvy clothes? In warfare, it's pretty severe. I think we've got to learn from this. In warfare, it's incredibly severe. Do you think God comes along and wipes you? I mean, in warfare, they would actually execute them. If somebody's gone AWOL, takes off his uniform in warfare, and he's found, you know, taking it easy, getting a bit of rest and relaxation when he shouldn't have been, he's actually in danger of getting before the firing squad. Well, in the scripture, the Bible tells us, especially when we're in warfare, that we're to submit to God. Isn't that what a soldier learns? Submission. Obedience and submission we learn. Because the one voice we want to hear is our commanding officer. Look, I want to tell you, Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. He is wonderful. He's your shepherd. He gently leads us, he guides us, he comforts us. He is all of those things, but he is also the King of glory. He is also a man of war. I love those films where they get people enlisting, you know, and they're all these standing up, well, I'm in the army now, you know. And along comes the sergeant major and he starts giving this great bawling out, you know, whoa! You know, Jesus is out. He's not going to use bad language, I'm telling you now. But we need to know he is the King of glory. He is the King of kings. His eyes are blazing like a flame of fire. You know why we need to see a revelation of him like that? To know you do not mess with him. But not only that, he is the one who is for us. He is the one who has fought the battle and won. You know, sometimes we can meet somebody and think, wow, they're a really nice person. I remember I had a friend when I was younger I had a friend when I was younger, and nice guy, really nice guy. And anyway, one day I saw a side of him that absolutely shocked me. So there was another friend, he was a bit of a pain. Anyway, he was provoking him, and he let it go a long time, and suddenly he just, that was enough, and beat him up. I tell you what, he was thumping this guy, and I'm in shock. I thought, he was a gentle, that's the guy, I know he's a nice guy. And suddenly, I had this healthy respect. You don't provoke him. You do to your own terror. And sometimes we need that kind of healthy respect of our God. He doesn't speak things so that we can determine whether we like it or not, and whether we're going to decide to obey what he says or not. He is love. He is good and upright is the Lord. He is merciful. Everything he says is just. I tell you that there are going to be times when he tells you to do something and you're going to think it's not right, you're going to think it's not fair, or that God's being mean. But everything he does is for our benefit. Every word he has spoken. You know, I've come to realize that all of God's judgments are actually his mercy. Remember reading Leviticus where he's telling his people, if you start to sin against me, he says, I'm going to put 7 curses that are going to come on you. And they're hair-raising. They're hair-raising. And then he says, and if then you don't turn to me, I'll bring 7 more again. And then 7 more again. It's gone from bad to worse. It is absolutely terrifying. I thought, man, what a scary God. Until I realized that God's whole purpose for doing that is so that we will turn. So we will turn. He is so good. He is so good. You know, it's not love when somebody doesn't take the steps that are necessary to see us saved, and God does. So we're in the army now, and he's wanting to wake up the mighty men, to wake up to see who you are in Christ. You know, what causes us to go to sleep? Well, if you're in sick, heavy life, I think I'll take a nap right now. I think I'll go to sleep. I think I'll take it easy. I mean, I've worked hard, and I need to take a nap. We can do it. But in warfare, if you do that, you're dead. And much worse than that, maybe the person next to you that you're supposed to be guarding and looking after is dead as well. It's a totally different situation and mindset. We have enlisted and we're in this army to set captives free. And we're not in it just to have, you know, the glory times. We're in it to see captives set free, for people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. So he says, wake up, stand up, and put on, as it says in Ephesians, put on the full armor. Wake up, be strong in the Lord, says in Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, this is the final word from Paul. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How many of us tried to be strong in ourselves? I'm trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying to do the best I can. That's civvy talk. I'm trying. Don't you know, I gave it my best shot. And God says, great, now are you going to give up? Because your best shot, my best shot, will never do it. Never. Because flesh is flesh. So let's get in with God's training. When you were baptized, that was the end of you. Now you rise, rise, rise. Stand up. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh, because that's what it is. It's flesh. You know, look, God, I tell you, I remember doing the deal with God. You remember this too, Ben. Remember we were going down to Life Ministry Center, going down at 2 services on a Sunday. We're doing the midweek. We're doing all this stuff. And anyway, it came a point where I realized in my heart I was drifting away from the Lord. Outwardly, nobody would have seen it because I was actually doing more. I started to run a home group. but I was actually drifting away in my heart. So I was doing the deals with God, giving him my best shot. And I, you know, doing more. Yeah, and but really in my heart it was, okay, that's got to keep God happy. I mean, I'm paying my tithes, I'm praying, I'm going to two services on a Sunday, I'm doing a midweek, he's got to be happy with that. But I knew in my heart, as I said the other week, you know, 99% obedience is still disobedience. And so that's what Israel had to learn. That was the whole purpose of them getting in the wilderness. He said so that they should learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that's currently proceeding from the mouth of God. Isn't that what the soldier learns? That he's got to hear his commanding officer no matter what, or what the situation is. The reality in God is when your heart's right, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. It's always been a heart condition. It's always been where it's at. And he gives the Holy Spirit because he says, not by might, not by your civilian efforts and trying the best you can. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Let them come up. Isn't that where you get our strength? Where does our strength come from? Our strength comes from him. That's where it comes from. It is always about that relationship with him. I tell you, it's in the secret place. He's just worshipping him. And I'll just share one more thing about this. God brought Israel out. He called them his army. And then he numbered them. When he numbered them all, in the book of Numbers, it's all about how he numbers all the different tribes. He numbered them according to the fighting men. So he didn't number everybody. He numbered them according to their fighting men. And he got them to camp in certain order. And I love it when it was all set out, if somebody was in a helicopter looking down, the shape of their camp would have been in the shape of a cross. And when he said to Moses, make two silver trumpets, and the trumpets will have this purpose for calling the assembly together and for marching. And that included also battle. If they were to go into battle, they would sound the trumpet. So, and then he said, okay, when you give that sound, when the trumpet calls, when the trumpet is calling, he said, okay, I want the camp on the east side to break first. East is where the rising of the sun. And the first tribe that was camped right in the east was the tribe of Judah. Yeah, love that. It's praise. You know, we're singing those songs, you know, about praising. I will bless the Lord at all times. It's almost like an attitude check for the church. You know, what's our attitude in every circumstance? And if you want to start to get the victory in your life, learn how to praise God in every circumstance. You know, if you're a civilian, it's fine to complain. You know, take your complaints to your local MP. Take them to the pastor, take them to your brother and sister. But when you're in a warfare situation, there is no more complaining. There is no more questioning. There is just obedience that's needed. Are we ready for the battle? Because, you know, that's why they fell. They just complained, and in the end said, we're all going to die. They'd lost the vision. They'd lost their vision of the King of Glory who went before them. The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, who would say to everyone, the battle is mine. Rest, and we had that word in the prayer time this morning about resting in the Lord. Actually, just about close, but I was thinking, Brian, during the baptism there, there's a scripture, I think it's Isaiah 30 or around there, I'll find it for you. But it says, in returning and rest, you will be saved. and then in quietness and confidence would be your strength. That's a good word, isn't it? So we return and we rest in him. In other words, trust in him with all of our heart, because every soldier is trusting in their commanding officer, that the words that they speak, the commands that they give, they just, all that they have to do is, I'm going to obey that no matter what. And I can trust in him with all my heart. You know, didn't Jesus say that? Don't fear the devil. Don't listen to his commands. He can only kill you. But he can't take you out of the palm of God's hand. We've got an everlasting life. We've got the victory. You've got it. You're not trying to get it. You've got it. In Christ, we have it. So just stay in him. So in returning and rest, that means we return to the Lord. We rest in him. We're saved. Done deal. The issue of salvation doesn't need to be worried about anymore. But now we want to see others set free. We want the power of God on our life. Because, you know, a soldier, not only is he clothed, and I'll get into this another time, but a soldier is given a weapon. Is that correct? You have been given, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. That's why it says, wake up the mighty men. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It can be something so small in the world's eyes, simple as just praising the Lord in a circumstance where everybody else would complain, everybody else would fall to pieces, and now you say, no, I'm going to start praising him. Right, who does it? Let the weak say, I am strong. Yes, your life can be a part. You can be as weak as water. Well, just agree with the devil. I am as weak as water. There's no, in me, there's nothing good. But he is for me. The Lord is for me. Who can be against me? He is with me, Jeremiah says, as a mighty, awesome one. You know when he said that? When he was chucked in a dungeon and he was sinking in the mire at the bottom of this dungeon, not a pleasant place. He said, you know, he started to say, your word was in my heart like a burning fire. And he said, the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, I will not fail. Not I'm going to be strong because I'm such a know-it-all and, you know, I'm physically strong and all that. Just admit your weakness, because when you're weak, you are strong because you're more dependent on him. Hallelujah. I want to pray for people. There's somebody here, that word about peace. You know, there's a scripture that says the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. Isn't that good? So I want to pray for if that's you and you're struggling in that area of peace, God's peace is for you. And it may be that you need to return and rest in him. I want to also give a call that maybe you've gone AWOL, absent without leave. You enlisted when you got baptized and you think, well, I'm on leave now. Well, sorry, you're not. You're not on leave. Because you've been called up for others to be set free. It's not about you setting your own vision and agenda and all those sorts of things you want to do. You didn't join this army to further your career. You joined this army to find out what the Lord wants you to do and do that with all your heart, mind and strength. Anything other than that is you've gone AWOL. You know, I can impress anybody, everybody, I can do a whole lot more stuff, impress people, but it does not impress God. What, you know, didn't he say, you know, give your body to be burned and have not love. It's all about loving him. If you love me, he said, you will obey me. Not consider what I say and because it's wise and put it into effect. No, you will obey me. So two words for that first one, that's returning and rest for the peace of God. And he's the one that will deal with Satan in your life. Or maybe you've gone AWOL. You know it in your heart. You've pulled back from the battle line. And you need to be there, not only for your sake, but for others' sake. Maybe it's for your brother or your sister that you're supposed to be standing right next to. I'll just give this last scripture for you to look up, and it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, and actually you can go through to chapter 12, and it talks about the army that came to King David. It talks about these incredible mighty men and what they did, and even to the point of laying down their life in reality, but incredible victories were won. And then it talks about all these men that came to David. They were men who were able to keep rank. That's incredibly important. They were men who were armed for battle. Maybe you were given a weapon and it's been put on your mantelpiece, and that's where it stays. Yeah, you know all about it. You know exactly, you could pull that weapon apart piece by piece. You know everything about it. You know every scripture about it. But it's on the mantelpiece. You know, what's a soldier? He's called to stand to attention. That means you're ready to do whatever God wants you to do. And then he's called to present arms. Are you armed? That's the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you armed? Or is he on the mantelpiece? Yes, once I remember my experience. I got baptized. Oh, it was wonderful. Blah, blah, blah. And I remember in the past when I obeyed him. Oh, wonderful things happened. But he's looking for obedience right now. We're going to close. Can we stand up? And I want those that would like prayer, come forward and I'll pray for you. And look. Here's so too. When you start to obey God, there's a tremendous joy. These things I write to you, he said, is when you do them, that your joy might be full. There's a tremendous joy. That's the Holy Spirit. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Here we are. Lord, your word says that we're to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. It says in your word that to whom we present ourselves, servants to obey, we are that one's servants whom we obey. You know that word, it says when you present your bodies as members or instruments of righteousness, it can equally be translated that we present the members of our bodies as weapons of righteousness. I hope your weapon is not on the shelf, on the mantelpiece, but it's right now present. Here we are, Lord. Use us, send us, and Lord, our desire is that your will be done, your kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.